down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Now you're welcome back to second hour Down to Business. Bobby here, keeping you company all the way till 1 o'clock today. This is the show that talks to the most interesting people in Irish business. You can text us here, 53106, it'll cost you 30 cent, or email me at downtobusiness@newstalk.com. Lots to come in this next hour, including I'll be looking to find out how some of Ireland's most iconic bookstores are faring in the world of Amazon.ie. I'll be speaking to Elizabeth Willetts, the author of Flex, Smart Strategies to Build a Successful Career Around Your Life. Plus Adrian O'Sullivan, the CEO of ARAG Legal Protection Limited, she'll be joining me in the executive chair. Now, there are plenty of pressures being felt in the retail space right now, and that's also certainly the case when it comes to the business of selling books. But we have a vibrant and rich heritage when it comes to bookshops, which perhaps underpins the social and cultural significance that they hold in towns and cities right across the country. Delighted to be joined for a discussion on selling retail books today by Vinnie Brown from Charlie Burns Bookshop in Galway. Also joining me is Liam Donnelly, bookshop manager with Hodges Figgis. And also joining us is Louisa Earls, the general manager of Books Upstairs there on Dalier Street. So you're all very welcome to the programme, and I'm looking forward to this discussion already. Vinnie, I want to start with you, our man in the West. Charlie Burns Bookshop is something of an institution, is it not?
I guess it is. No more than the other two shops there, Books Upstairs and Hodges Figgis. We have been around for 36 years at this point, Bobby. So we're firmly part of the retail and cultural ecosystem here in Galway, and we're very embedded, I think, in the community, Bobby. And it's very important for us that it is so. We're first and foremost a community bookshop,
yeah.
And that's the great advantage that that the bricks and mortar shop has over the Amazon.ie, which is, I suppose, the big news in the book world is the arrival of that platform. But I think that we are obviously concerned about it. But if we play to our strengths, Robbie, which are numerous, I think there's kind of no competition really between what a bookshop on the high street and on the main street of our cities and towns can deliver, as opposed to the anonymous algorithm of the giant corporations.
I think very well said, Vinnie. And I know your shop, and I know what you do there. And I think, you know, you've said yourselves, you just don't know what you'll find when you come in. That's kind of the secret sauce, that people will come in, they'll browse, they'll lounge. You don't put any pressure under people to buy stuff. And it's just, it's a lovely way of selling, and it's a lovely way of interacting with your consumer.
It is. I mean, the great kind of unspoken thing about a bookshop is that it's a place you can go without spending money. That's kind of part of the contract. you know, you can do that. George Orwell's famous essay on bookselling has that back in the 1940s, so it's still the same.
Yeah.
And we welcome that kind of, browsing.
Okay. Let's talk to I'll come back to you in a second, Vinny. Let's introduce my other two guests. Louisa Earls, the General Manager of Books Upstairs. Louisa, you're very welcome to the programme.
Oh, thank you so much, Bobby. Lovely to be here.
Not at all. And again, I know your shop, but maybe you'd tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Books Upstairs has been going since 1978. And in 2015, we moved our premises to Dalier Street, right in the city centre of Dublin. And we've been operating there for the last 10 years. And yeah, we're coming up to 50 years in, later this decade of being an independent and family-run bookshop.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And what's also lovely about your business, Louisa, is, you know, I know it's moved a couple of times over the tenure of the business, that you say is approaching nearly 50 years. And the consumer seems to be willing to travel with you.
Yeah, thankfully. Yeah, we've, you know, been moving within a fairly small radius of kind of city centre locations since 1978. And obviously the biggest, most recent move was from College Green, where we were for the longest stint. And thankfully, the customers got the memo and, you know, have been able to kind of come around the corner to Dallier Street. Where, you know, Dallier Street is not a shopping high street, so we do kind of consider ourselves to be a bit of a destination book shop on that street, and just want to give people as much of a reason or as many reasons as possible to come to Dallier Street and to make it a regular pit stop in their lives.
No, excellent, excellent. Stay with us, Louisa. Our third guest is Liam Donnelly. He's the bookshop manager here with Hodges Figgis. Liam, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Bobby. It's great.
Now, you describe yourself as a range bookshop, which is a term I hadn't heard before, but you're selling 80,000 titles on any one day.
At the moment, we stock about 80,000 titles, and that goes up and down with the seasons, and towards Christmas, we probably stock more. But again, as with the others, we're sort of 257 years young this year, I suppose, as an extant business, in various different ownerships and stuff like that. But we've always tried to be part of the fabric of Dublin society, and by that, be part of the community of the city centre.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing when you're a high street shop in a city centre to be part of that fabric. But Hodges, over the years, has managed to fill that role.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult thing for a...
And you're balancing that kind of, I suppose, corporate piece, which...
Indeed.
You know, but at the same time, you know, you get investment from HQ. They... Yeah. Effectively can ride out, you know, tricky patches. So underwrites you as a business.
We have advantages over both Books Upstairs and Charlie Burns in the way that a lot of the administrative functions and cash and stuff like that, I don't have to worry so much about that. All I have to do is deliver the sales to HQ. If we don't deliver the sales, we don't exist. Corporations are not... kind to things that don't perform.
So no, but and again, in terms of performance, it's well known that Hodges Figgis in the corporate, I suppose, hierarchy is one of the big performers in terms of your business.
In terms of sales, we're probably the third biggest sales in that group after two huge behemoths, as I've said before, both in London, huge shops, 60,000 square feet. For a shop of 16,000 square feet, we outperform a lot of other similar shops in the UK and indeed US, where our parent company is.
Yeah, great. Back to you, Vinny. You mentioned there about, you know, the community and the fact that if you've said yourself that if people want to have vibrant towns and cities, they need to support their retail infrastructure. And if they don't, then they'll be living in a wasteland. I think that's really well said in terms of your position and your place within the community.
Well, it's a kind of a two-pronged thing, Bobby, really. I mean, it's up to bookshops to kind of spike their corner as well and explain their importance. Sometimes the kind of, you know, the varied activities that happens in a bookshop and happens in Hodges Figgis and Books Upstairs as well is, you know, sometimes it's taken for granted, but if that's taken out of it, you know, if people don't support businesses like that on their main streets of the cities and towns of Ireland, then they won't be there.
Yeah, and we've seen it in other sectors. We've seen it with our own eyes where, again, and people wonder, oh, why is that shop gone and I haven't been in it in 5 years?
And yes, yeah, I mean, if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Yeah.
It's a choice that the consumer has to make as well about what they think their towns and cities should look like.
You know,
it's a two-way thing. The retailer depends on the customer, and the customer depends on the retailer. But, I mean, on a more kind of upbeat note, that what a bookshop will provide in terms of the events that take place in the shop. I remember one time a customer said to me that we should try and be a mix of a good pub and a busy art centre.
Yeah.
And I thought it's a very good template.
Absolutely.
We've been trying to do that ever since. And that's something that Amazon.ie would never be confused with, either a good pub or a busy art centre.
Yeah.
And like even in the last month alone, we've had five or six events, and they've all been very well attended. We had a launch of a book by Bob Quinn, the famous filmmaker, and a Buddhist book by Ian Kilroy, a new novel by Jim Ward, and a novel or a biography by John Ryan, who's an elderly man who's been working on the book since the 1970s.
So amazing. And tell me this, Vinny, in terms of the overall business mix, events like that, are they an important part of what you do in terms of contributions financially?
Well, they are. They are. But, I mean, they serve another function as well. You know, they kind of embed you in the locality.
They're a shop window for the authors as well, aren't they?
They are, and we have a very lauded literary culture in this country, Bobby, and it's down to maybe like people doing events like that, but at the lower tier of it. And, you know, sometimes you see kind of the great and the good and of the political world, you know, maybe taking plaudits for that cultural achievement, and maybe a little bit more support might be appropriate.
Okay. Back to you, Louisa. In terms of events, is that something that is important to your business? Book signings, that type of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's a really big part of the overall offering that we're giving, and it's been it's been really successful lately. I would say we do about two or three events a week. It's really, really picked up speed over the years, particularly since 2021. And I'm interested to hear everything that Vinny and Liam have to say. Like, it is, of course, a highly competitive industry, but, you know, what we've found is to put the focus on the writing, on the books, on the talent, and, you know, be a resource for readers, people who love to read and who want to discover new writing and have an opportunity to maybe meet the readers the writers, I should say, that they admire or that they might have a chance to discover for the first time. So that would be a huge part. Both it makes a financial contribution, but as Vinny says, it's more than that. It's part of having, I mentioned earlier, giving people as many reasons as possible to come to you, give them, you know, not only the chance to come and enjoy, you know, having a leisurely browse through shelves and tables that, you know, you've carefully curated and displayed, but also maybe they wander upstairs, they have a coffee, we have a cafe upstairs for that, and we have that same space is often used for conversation events with authors who might have published their book a few months ago. So
yeah,
an opportunity. Yeah, it's an opportunity for writers to have like a longer tail. I guess you might consider it in terms of the initial promotion that might come the week of publication, but as well as book launches that happen at that time, which are incredibly important also. But to give them a chance to, you know, have maybe more in-depth kind of book club conversations also.
I have a lot of texts coming in. Maybe you might help me with some of them. Maybe one for you, Liam. With the volume of titles being produced these days, how do you decide what to stock and what not to stock? That comes from Michael in Dublin. I'm sure that's the million-dollar question.
There are endless amounts of books published every year in thousands and thousands of subjects. There are, of course, a top 5,000-6,000 that everybody will, well, not everybody will try, but larger shops or larger organisations will try to stock, and we try to stock all of those. So we have a buying team in our shop and another buyer in Cork, working Waterstones Cork, who go through all of these submissions. There are subscriptions that the publishers, it used to be a trade itself, I suppose, where people used to come around like what do you call them, commercial travellers every week, and you'd see millions and millions of people from various different publishers. Now that's all done more or less electronically by spreadsheet, and a decision is made about which books to stock from those things. Now, there are obvious things you have to buy. You have to buy a Sally Rooney. You have to buy the new Lisa Harding, for example. The book was launched yesterday in Hodges Figgis. You have to buy all of these things that are...
must-haves.
Yeah, must-haves. They're all things that everybody has to have. The long tail of stuff then depends on what our strengths are in the shop.
Okay. Another text for you. My young lad loves reading, but he's an outlier in his peer group at school. Do your guests see a lot of kids in their shops, or is it on the decline generally?
Bizarrely enough, Hodges Figgis used to be a sort of an older person shop, but over the last TikTok, book talk, all of these things has changed the demographic of our customer, and it has become much younger, and the physical thing has become more important. Owning a book has become more important to the younger generation than actually reading a screen.
Yeah.
And you can see from the sales of Dogman, for example, for 4 or 5 year olds, huge, huge sales of these books every year, or the last Hunger Games novel for, you know, people who went through that. Those books have sold thousands and thousands.
And amazing. Back to you, Vinny, in terms of another text here. We are avid Amazon users in our house. What are the actual benefits of going to local bookshop over the convenience of buying online? That comes in from Bridget Andrada. Well, I think they're obvious, Bridget, but I'll leave that to you, Vinny.
Okay, well, I think they are. You know, the thing that you mentioned about our shop is that you don't know what you see. You don't know what you want until you know that until you've seen it, and then you want it. So that is a difference, that there's no algorithm that can do that for you.
Yeah.
And the simple pleasure of going into a busy book environment and talking to people about the book, that's something that, like all our I'm sure the other Louisa and Liam would agree, that like the staff that run bookshops are so important to the whole way that the thing works. They're usually massive readers themselves.
Yeah, product knowledge is really key, isn't it, in terms of being able to talk about a book or have read a book or something that somebody might be interested in buying.
Yes, yeah. And when you're in a bookshop, you hear other people talking about books, and that feeds into the whole ecosystem as well.
Yeah.
And like, we're often led about, you know, the last question there about what people, you know, what books to buy. I mean, we're often led by our customers who say, you know, we've heard about this, and you know, we want you to get it, and then you get it, and you find that there's a big market for that book.
Yeah.
The overall kind of books and bricks and mortar kind of experience it kind of dwarfs the anonymity of a click and deliver system. You get so much more out of it, and you might well stumble across a children's reading if you go in there at 12 o'clock on a Saturday morning. If you're there at 6 o'clock in the evening, you might find an event, like Louisa was saying, they have become a lot more popular.
Yeah.
In fact, Bobby, you launched a book in the shop one time.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah.
It is all of those things that feed into people's experience. And why would you not prefer to go out and have a social experience as opposed to do it from the kind of
bland?
Absolutely.
Just
the click and collect digital experience.
Well, very well said, Vinny. Back to you, Louisa. You stock things like Irish writing journals and some maybe rather obscure readings. Is there money to be made in those, or are they all part of being eclectic and being different and adding to your overall brand proposition?
I mean, certainly we've got a long-standing reputation for stocking Irish literary journals, which have become less and less of an obscure thing and more of a sort of world-famous kind of phenomenon, the likes of Stinging Fly and Dublin Review, and more recently Tolka, Banshee, and the list goes on of journals that are the first maybe to publish writers that have gone on to enjoy the sort of Sally Rooney level fame levels. So stocking those new Irish writing journals has been a huge part of how we've embedded ourselves in a community of Irish writers who really are incredibly supportive of each other and are incredibly invested in and supportive of Irish bookshops. I think the writers themselves can recognise that the bookshops in Ireland and Dublin are actually an integral support to the country's international reputation as a capital of literary excellence on a world stage. And of course, it would be, you know, harking back to something Vinnie said, it would be great to have sort of, you know, it would reflect well on the state to invest in the book industry for that reason, seeing as it is something we trade on internationally. But to return to your question about, you know, the stock and keeping, we do like to keep it eclectic, keep it interesting. We will have the books, you know, that most people are going to come in to look for. They'll be there. And then in addition to that, we will, you know, use our bookselling, you know, savvy to select, you know, to stock books that are maybe that you won't have heard of or that you're happy to stumble upon. And just if I might just answer Bridget that text as well, just because I totally agree with everything Vinnie was saying about the advantages and the loveliness of coming into a physical shop. But also just, I didn't catch where she lives and
Drogheda.
Might be.
Drogheda.
Yeah, you know, maybe it doesn't always suit to come to a physical shop. So I would just also point out that, you know, Books Upstairs and the other shops and, you know, almost all of the shops in Ireland will have their own websites as an alternative to Amazon. So
okay. You've
got booksupstairs.ie, and the difference you might find there is that, I mean, a lot of people will maybe have a question. They can actually ring us up and ask a question, then still get the book delivered. We do gift wrapping. You can include a note to the person if you're getting it sent to a friend. It's going to be a much more tactile kind of,
absolutely, and that's all about the service and adding value.
Absolutely, and if you have any problems, if you need to, you know, if there's any issues, you can just pick up the phone. You're going to talk to a human being, and you don't get that with Amazon, of course.
Finally, last question to you, Liam. Your website, and look, I think this is quite intriguing. You were slow to the party in terms of going online, and I'm not saying that in a critical way, but your website. Am I right in saying it's still non-transactional?
It's still non-transactional. We did have a website in the early 90s, but our owners at the time didn't invest. And early websites need a lot of investment in databases and getting things right. And they didn't get it right, and it petered away. And now, over the last year, last November, our website was launched, hodgesiggis.ie, and it was created initially to reflect what the stock is. So it is used primarily as a click and collect. It reflects all of our stock that's in the shop. And also allows people to, again, as Louisa said, ask questions and we can answer and give responses for things we may not have. Again, there are issues with the transactional part. We have a loyalty system that we've used for years, which is just a simple stamp on a card like a lot of shops use. And it's been very, very successful over the years. But getting that into an electronic form provides its own problems, especially with GDPR and all these other things. So it takes a long time to develop. So slowly it will become fully transactional, I hope. This year. I can't guarantee it, but I wish I could.
Yeah, well said. And you know what? That's what makes you different. So
don't be ashamed of that for a
second.
Having no website for a long time, it didn't really matter. People were always surprised. But again, all bookshops offer, and ours, I hope, as well, is service. You know, customer service is the most important thing. Interacting with the customers, speaking to the customers, listening to the customers. As Vinnie said, you learn more about books from your customers than you do from a spreadsheet. So you need to listen and talk, you know.
I hope our listeners are now, I suppose, more informed maybe than they were. I just think this is a wonderful sector. People working tirelessly for the trade, for the industry. And I thank all three of you for coming on here today to talk about your craft, to talk about your industry, and indeed your business. Thank you to Vinnie Brown of Charlie Burns Bookshop in Galway, to Liam Donnelly, the bookshop manager at Hodges Figgis here in Dawson Street, and Louisa Earls, general manager of Books Upstairs on Dalier Street. Thank you all, and wishing you well in your quest.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby, for the opportunity to talk to you.
Not at all. Up next, we're going to be looking at flexibility in the workplace. Stay tuned.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.